justified by Christ alone. Let's read the 14th through the 17th verses here of Galatians chapter 2. For when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, live after the manner of Gentiles, and don't live like the Jews, with their rituals and their ceremonies and their dietary laws, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. God forbid. The argument that Paul and the confrontation that Paul had with Simon Peter over his dissimulation, him and Barnabas and other Jews, when they, through fear of the Jews, came down, they went over and left the Gentiles and went back to acting like Jews again, like the Gentiles had something wrong with them. But now I want you to, it takes a turn here in verse 15, talking about Jews by nature. Now I want you to remember that Peter had not said a word against Christ. Not said a word against Christ. Hadn't said a word against grace. Hadn't said a word against justification by Christ alone. But it says they walk not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. You see, the truth of the gospel is there's no difference between Jew or Gentile. That's the truth of the gospel. We've proved before both Jew and Gentile all are under sin. All are under sin. And that's what... And Peter had already told all the council at Jerusalem that the Gentiles were saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, by his actions, he's denying the very gospel that he preached. And not only that, is there no, the truth of the gospel is there's no difference between Jew and Gentile in sin. You cannot turn your hand for the difference in any member of this human race. No matter what color he is. No matter what he, where he lives or what he does and what he thinks. If God does not save a man and do something for a man, you can't turn your hands for the difference in what man by nature. If you ever understand what you happened to do in the garden in the fall, then you'll see your desperate need of Christ. All men are sinners without God, without Christ. Well, I don't care if they're profligate sinners or they're what they call moral sinners. They're all sinners. And then secondly, the truth of the gospel is there's no difference in how they're justified before God.
No.
None whatsoever. The way that God justifies a Jew or the way he justifies a Gentile is the way he's going to justify a Jew. The way he justifies a Jew is the way he's going to justify a Gentile. And that's why when Peter left the fellowship of the Gentiles, when the Jews came, he by his action was saying that there is a difference between Jew and Gentile. Here is a difference. Now, two things I want you to notice here that I didn't even notice myself till I began to study for this. There's two things that change here. First of all, Paul shows the purpose of the law. Begins to show us the purpose of the law. He begins to examine it in light of a man seeking to be justified by it. And the second thing is that justification by Christ alone through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't notice this till this time, but up to this point, the word law or faith has not been mentioned in this epistle. Though I've talked about law, and I've talked about faith, but up to this point, neither the word law, or the law, or faith hadn't been mentioned except over here in verse 23 in chapter 1 when it says, they had heard only that he would persecute us in times past, now preach the faith, which he once destroyed. The faith there is the message, it's the gospel. It's the analogy of our faith. It's what we all believe. But here, beloved, when he starts talking about the faith, man's justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. Here he starts talking about our personal faith, the faith that by which we believe. And he hadn't mentioned the law up here till this time. A man's not justified by the law, by the works of the law. And so these are two things that the words that hadn't even been mentioned. And what the apostle does here, and I hope I can make it understandable, he brings faith and he brings law. And he brings them face to face. Brings them right face to face. Here's faith and here's the law. Here's faith and here's the law. Now, in doing this, as he brings faith and the law face to face, we're brought to the issue of justification. Now, what is justification? And how is it obtained? Is it obtained by law or is it obtained by faith? And that's why he starts dealing with the law here and brings out faith. Which way are you going to be justified? They both can't go together. Great law, faith and law can't reign in the same heart. Because they're opposites. They're opposed to one another. So what is this thing of justification? How's it obtained? Then, well, let's go here now. And he says, you know what? Verse 15. He says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. When he says, we which are Jews by nature, that means Jewish born and Jewish bred. That's why even today, Jews don't want you to marry a goy. You know what a goy is? That's somebody, that's a Gentile like me or you. That's what they call them. And a Jewish, they're Jewish born and Jewish bred. They're brought up under the law. When they're 8 days old, if they're boys, they're circumcised. When they're 40 days old, they're taken to the law and they're redeemed by blood offering, by blood sacrifice. Our Lord Jesus Christ done that. Remember when they took him up to have him circumcised and took him up to dedicate him? And because they was poor, they could only afford turtle doves to offer them as sacrifices? And so they were brought up to observe and revere the law of Moses. It was second nature to them. This is their heritage. This is their culture. This is their custom, their habit from childhood. And the Jew based his whole salvation, his whole hope and before God Almighty on the law of Moses. Not only just the Ten Commandments, but on the priesthood, on the sacrifices, on the tabernacle. How many times did they say, we have Moses. We believe Moses. Moses said this. Moses said that. They confronted Christ with Moses over and over and over again. And so Paul said, I was born a Pharisee of Pharisees. My mama was a Jew. My daddy was a Jew. I'm full-blooded, full-bred from the top of my head. I was born and raised in the law. I know what it said. And according to it, I'm blameless. And oh, so when they're Jews by nature, Peter was a Jew by nature. Remember what God did to him, letting that sheet down to say, rise, slay, and eat. Oh no, I'm a Jew. Jews don't eat that unclean stuff. They had dietary laws. They had civil laws. They had laws that covered their whole life. Coming and going, getting up and getting down, going in, going out, sleeping, waking up. They had a law to cover every aspect of their life. Every aspect of their lives. About having babies and what women are supposed to do, what men are supposed to do, what they can't do and what they can do. Oh, on and on and on. You just read through Deuteronomy. You just read through Numbers. You just read of all the laws in Exodus that they was laid down for the Jews. And they was born and bred in this. Jews by nature. We are Gentiles by nature.
Yeah.
That means when we was born without a knowledge of God. Nothing know anything about Christ. A Gentile was born. The Jews had the law and the prophets and the oracles of God and the glory of God and the covenants of God and the promises of God. And he says, not sinners like the Gentiles. What in the world do you mean like that? That we knew the one true and living God. That's what they're saying. Them Gentiles, they didn't know anything about Moses' law. They didn't know anything about what it was to transgress the law. These Gentiles by nature, they worshiped idol gods, they worshiped false gods. And that was another thing. God said, when you go into a country, destroy every false idol, false altar, false god, and don't you dare marry anybody besides a Jew, because if you do, you'll go and go unto their god.
Yeah.
Don't you go unto a strange god. Well, we worship strange gods. We worship strange gods. And then look what it says over here in Ephesians 2. Not sinners as the Gentiles. He He says here in Ephesians 2 in verse 11, "Wherefore remember this, you remember, that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, Gentiles by nature, who are called the uncircumcision, unclean, filthy, by that which is called the circumcision, the clean, the Jews, in the flesh made by hands." Now watch this, that at that time you were without Christ, you being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now that's what a Gentile was. But watch what else he goes on to say. But now, in Christ Jesus, you that sometimes were afar from made nigh by the blood of Christ. Huh? The blood of Christ. And so back over here in our text, not sinners. That's why, you know, when our Lord Jesus Christ, when that woman came and began to wash his feet, and the Syrophoenician woman, that Gentile woman came to him, he ignored her. But when that woman began to wash his feet with her tears and dry them with the hairs of her head and anoint him, oh, as Simon the Pharisee said, if this man were a prophet, he'd know what manner of woman this is. She's a sinner. She's a sinner. Huh? And oh, beloved, the Jews despised the Gentiles, and the law of Moses meant nothing to the Gentiles. Their dietary laws didn't mean nothing to the Gentiles. The Gentiles wasn't even, Jews weren't even supposed to go into the room and the house of a Gentile. God just almost had to kill Simon Peter to make him go. Yeah. And Paul was a law keeper. He was a natural born Jew until Christ was made known to him. Now he says, I want to win Christ. I want to know Christ. I want to be found in Christ. Not with my righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which is by faith in him. Now watch what else he goes on to say. We who are Jews by nature, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Even we have believed in Jesus. Who is even we? The Jews. Us Jews. Even we Jews have believed in Jesus Christ. By the faith of Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now we know, it says you're knowing this. We know that a man is not justified by the law. Now here's the first mention of law. Let me define law for us here. There's several ways that the law is referred to in the Scriptures. Let's look at this first. We use the word law. We refer to the law of gravity. We refer to the law of physics. A lot of laws we refer to. We refer to law when it's enacted by Congress. They just passed a new law. Or they're just going to pass a new law. We call them laws. And then there's rules in a game. We say them are the laws that you got to go by, the rules you got to go by. Well, the law in the Scriptures, here when Paul talks about the law means several things. First thing I think it means is this, and not in this particular instance, but it also means this, the Old Testament Scriptures means the law. All the Old Testament Scriptures, especially the law of Moses, where the first five books of Moses. He says it is written in the law and in the prophets. He says in Isaiah 8:20, he says, if they speak not according to the law and the testimony, it's because there's no law, no light in them. And you know, it's written in the law. So you know, when you go, they're just talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. And secondly, the law of Moses. It means the law of Moses is given on Sinai. When Moses went up to Sinai, he went up there three different times to get the law. First time he went up there to get the commandments, God wrote on them with his finger. Brought them back down. He was mad at the Jews as they was dancing naked around that golden calf and having a party, and he threw them down and broke them. God says, you hew out two stones now, and you come right back up here. And God wrote again, he says, you take these two tablets of stone and you put them in an ark of covenant. Because they've already been broken, so we're going to put them in an ark. Christ is that ark. They've got to be kept somewhere because they'll be broken again just as sure as you go down there with them in your hand. So put them in an ark. Put them in an ark. Come back down, and he had to go up the third time to get all the things that went with the law. The pattern of the tabernacle, and everything and all the laws that went with just the Ten Commandments. And then he came back with the civil law. It told who could marry who, the laws of marriage, the law of crime, the law that you had to couldn't be charged with a crime without the mouth of two or three witnesses, the law of the city of refuges, the moral principles, all the things that you could go on and on and on about. Civil law. And then there's the law of the conscience. You know, Romans 2:14 says this, that the Gentiles, having not the law, have the law written on their conscience. The moral law is written on our conscience. Even God didn't even know anything about the Ten Commandments. But I knew that stealing and lying and drunkenness and cussing and adultery and all those things were wrong in my conscience. I knew it was wrong to tell a lie, but I'd tell one anyway. And my conscience would either accuse me or excuse me. When I'd done something right, it would accuse me. When I'd done something wrong, it accused me. If I'd done something right, it would excuse me. Or else it would try to justify me in doing my wrong. That's why you can't trust your conscience. But still yet, it's a moral principle that we all have within us. And you override it enough, and after a while, it'll get so seared and so hardened that nothing will ever touch it. And that's a frightening thing to me. That's reprobation. Whenever your conscience is not never touched. And then there's the law of sin and death. There's the law, you've heard of, you know, in the scriptures he calls it the law of sin and death. By the law of sin and death. And that's a principle that's within us, a power that's within us. Sin is a power within us. It's a principle within us. What is sin? It's me. Somebody asked, Kyle was telling me that the other day. He said, a fellow asked him up there in Alaska, says, you know, they want to know. No, it was as Annie's telling me, when in one of her classes, somebody asked her and they was talking. She said, well, what are sin? What is sin? She said, that's me. I'm sin. Everything about me is sin. That's why I need Christ. And he wanted to have sins defined. But sin is a principle that's within us, born within us, and will control us if God don't kill that principle. And when there's the law of sin, there's the law of death. They go, sin and death go hand in hand. And then there's the law of faith. I read it to you a minute ago. God justifies us. He justifies a man that believes in Christ. Set Christ forth to be a propitiation. That through faith in His blood, God declares that He's righteous in justifying that man who believes on Christ. Yeah. And they said, well, we're in the world boasting then. We ain't done no works. We ain't done no works. We ain't kept no laws. All we've done is sin. And here you're saying God's going to justify us by faith? He gave Christ freely for us and justifies us freely? Where's our boasting in? What are we going to brag about? He said it's excluded. By what law? By what principle? Works? No. If you had works, you'd boast. But by the law of faith. And then there's the law of Christ. Look over here in Galatians 6:2. Then there's the law of Christ. We've got all these mentions of the law. All these mentions of the law. So many laws. God wrote this law on our hearts and on our minds when He saved us by His grace. And that's why we're not afraid of them. That's why we establish them, because we say God's just, holy, and good. He says there in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and what's this? And so fulfill the law of Christ. Huh? Oh, the law of Christ? That means bearing one another's burdens, loving one another, forgiving one another. And over in James, it's called the law of liberty. It's called the law of liberty over there. It's the law that sets you free. It don't bring you into bondage. It sets you free. You can worship God. You can call on God. You can understand the Scriptures. You're free to come to God freely, confidently, boldly. And you don't bring nothing but Christ. You don't have to bring any works. You don't have to bring any obedience. You don't have to bring any merit. You don't have to bring anything at all. You just come. Christ set us free to come to God. And then it's called a royal law. A royal law. Now, back here in verse 16 of chapter 2. So therefore we know that a man is not justified by the works of the law. We've seen law. Then it says here, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now we know that a man is not justified by the law. No justification by law. And we know this from the law itself. The law itself, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Nothing wrong with the law, the problem's with us. Ain't that right? And what did I read to you there in Romans 3? Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world become guilty before God by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. How can a man be justified by something that just makes him know he's a sinner? That condemns him. And here in Galatians 3:10, look what it says. We know that man's not justified by the law from the law itself. The law requires perfection, obedience from the heart, continually and constantly. Galatians 3:10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that what? Don't do it just every once in a while. Don't try to keep it for a few months and then decide I can't live right and I go back to the world and decide, well, I want to start trying all over again. No, no. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do that. The book of the law is the first five books of the scriptures. That's what the book of the law is. First five Moses were. And look over in Galatians 4:21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, don't you hear the law? Don't you hear it? Don't you hear it thundering from Sinai? Don't you hear it thundering by the knowledge of sin? Don't you hear it thundering death? Don't you hear it thundering guilt? Don't you hear it thunder condemnation? Don't you hear it? You can't come near me? Huh? So we know that we're not justified the law by the law itself. And we know that we're not justified by the law from the gospel, which clearly states that we're complete in Christ. Ain't that right? We're completed. We're accepted in the Beloved. We are complete in Christ, who's the head of all principalities and power. Christ is our wisdom. Christ is our sanctification. Christ is our redemption. Christ is everything to us. God made Him so to us. And we know we're not justified by the law because Christ, we're complete in Him. So why would we need law if you're complete in Christ? And we also know that we're not justified by the works of the law from experience itself, from our own experience. We have been fully convinced, every believer in Christ, every believer's been justified by God Himself. We know from our experience, fully convinced of the insufficiency of human righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own. We've been convinced of that. We've been convinced that we have nothing to offer. We've been convinced that we're sinners from the top of it. Paul said, I know that in me, in my flesh, there ain't a good thing nowhere. All of our righteousnesses are as a filthy rag. We've been convinced of that. We know from experience we can't be justified by the law. And then it says, you're knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. We know that we're justified and with Jesus. We know that we're justified by the faithfulness of Christ.
Yeah.
It was Christ who was faithful. Moses was faithful in his house, but the house was Christ. And oh, beloved, we know that we by the faith Christ was faithful to God. Faithful to God. He obeyed God. He loved God. He loved his Father and he was faithful to his God. He was faithful to the Word. I mean, how many times did he quote Scripture to say a man lives by the Word of God and that alone? And he was faithful to the law. He met every law. He said, which of you convinces me of sin? He was faithful to the law. Every dietary law, every ceremonial law, every ritual, everything that there was. Even when he healed a man, a leper, he said, go and offer a sacrifice according to the law. Lest they'll come and say, I'm bypassing Moses. Ah. And all beloved, and he is faithful. He was faithful even unto death. Huh? And all beloved, faithful. Oh my, I trust more in his faithfulness than I do mine. My faith. And then secondly, we also know that we're not justified by the works of the law, because we're justified by the faithfulness of Christ. And also we know we're justified by the faith of Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. We know we're justified by that faith which has Christ as its author. Where did we get our faith? Christ gave it to us. He bought it and gave it to us. He's the finisher of our faith. What He started, He'll finish. And we know we're justified by faith in Christ, because not only He's the author and finisher of it, but He's the object of our faith. He's the object of it. My faith, not Christ, is the object of my faith. How do I know I have real faith? Christ's object of it. And all you've got to do is find out is what's the object of your faith. And you can talk to somebody real quick and find out what the object of their faith is. You let somebody talk. You don't have to ask them questions. Just let them talk a while and you'll find out what the object of their faith is. You'll find out sometimes the object of their faith is their goodness, their morality. Sometimes it'll be their church attendance. Sometimes it'll be their soul winning. Sometimes it'll be their preaching. Sometimes it'll be their repentance. Sometimes it'll be their faithfulness. Sometimes it'll be, I've been a good husband or a good woman. But there'll be something that'll be the object of their faith. And you know what we count all that? Done. What's the object of our faith? Christ. Oh, bless His holy name. Oh, I heard old Miles McKee preaching, and boy, he started there in John chapter 1, and he says, you know, the thing we got to look at this is right here. Says He declared Him. That's the word exegete. Said if you want to know God, you got to know Him in Christ. He came and told out God fully. He said the fullness of the Godhead dwelled in Him. And He upholds this world by the word of His power. And He went on, He said, when you see His beauty and you see His glory, said you can't help but look to Him. And boy, that's right. That's right. And then, beloved, not only are we justified by the faith of Christ, but we're justified by God. You remember where it says, you know, that who is he that condemneth? It's God that justifies. When God justifies you, who in the world is going to lay charge to you? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's Christ that died. It's God that justifies. And so we're justified by God, by His will, through the merits of Christ, through the blood of Christ. And that's how we're justified. And then it says there in verse 16 again, even we, have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh, no Jewish flesh, no Gentile flesh, be justified by the law. Even we, even us Jews, we have believed on Jesus Christ. Peter preached Christ on the day of Pentecost. And those men said, men and brethren, what must we do? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, there ain't but one name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Paul said, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And you can be justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. He said, even us Jews, we've been justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. No, not at all. And oh my, I don't know, I just cannot grasp. Like I told you about that fellow Sunday night with that walking that tightrope with the righteous of Christ on this side and your own on that side. Oh, just horrible. Horrible. That's law works. That's law. That's works. Not walking a tightrope. I'm resting in Christ. I'm reposing in Christ. I'm going to go home and get in my chair. I'm going to crank it out and lay back. Well, that's what I've done in Christ. I'm laying in Christ. When I get in the chair, mercy, can I bring anything? I'm resting in Christ and because He finished the work, and He's the one that just keeps on bringing and keeps on giving and keeps on. He not only finished the work, but He's going to keep me reposed and keep me reposed till it takes me to glory. Oh, my. Well, now look what it says in verse 17. And I hope I can say something. I should have quit that there, but maybe I can give us a little understanding of what this means. But if while we, us Jews, seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Is Christ the minister of sin? What the Jews would say was, is if you leave the law, you leave Moses, you're a transgressor of the law. And they're saying, you're all sinners. And Paul's saying, well, how in the world then, if we're justified by Christ, and we take our place as sinners, and Christ died for sinners to save sinners, to redeem sinners, is therefore he the minister of sin because he saved sinners? That's what they're saying. If we want to be justified by Christ, not by the law. Now see, that if you're trying to be justified by Christ and the law, then you're a sinner. Because you're not justified by neither one of them. You get what I'm saying? By the strength of the law is sin. The strength of sin is the law. And if a man wants to be justified by law and Christ, then he's a sinner. But Paul is saying here, while we're seeking to be justified by Christ, and we're found to be sinners, we admit our transgressions, we admit our sin, we admit that we've broken the law, we admit we can't be justified by the law, and we want to be justified by Christ, and since Christ died for sinners, to justify sinners, to redeem sinners, are you saying that makes Christ the minister of sin because he saves sinners? God forbid. God forbid. Now let me show you what I mean by that. Look in Luke 15 and I'm done. Luke 15 and I'm done. That's what people say about us. He said, you folks, you know, you're antinomians. This is what it amounts to. You're an antinomian. That means you're without law. You say Christ is all, that you have your works don't enter into it, your merit don't enter into it. You're antinomians. Y'all don't believe in law at all. Then you're making Christ to be a minister of sin. No. No, no. I'm making him to be the justifier of sinners.
Amen.
If righteousness come by the law, what does it say? Christ dead in vain. Look what it says here in Luke 15, 1 and 2. This is exactly what it's saying. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, watch this, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He's a minister of sin. He's having something to do with sinners. What kind of person is he? Oh, this man receiveth sinners and eats with them. Does that make him the minister of sin or the savior of sinners? Moose come here, and Daniel come here a few weeks ago and preached from there. Brought an outstanding message from there, didn't he? All right. Our Father, in the blessed name of Christ our Lord, thank you that you are a justifier, that you redeemed us, cleared us of all guilt, that we stand in your righteousness, in yours alone. Thank you that you justify sinners, and only sinners. And we bless you for that. Thank you for it. Bless these dear saints as they go home, go to their jobs, go to their work, go to their homes, go to their troubles and the things that they deal with daily. God bless them, strengthen them, and encourage them. For Christ's sake, amen.